live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. I'm Emma Rose Callaghan with the main evening news. Coming up in this bulletin, the first sitting of the 26th Seanad is now underway at the Dublin's Convention Centre. Fianna Fáil TD Charlie McConlogue has acknowledged the concerns at the lack of ministerial representation in Donegal and Connacht, but says the job of a minister is to represent the whole country. And a public inquiry will be held into the proposed Dalradian gold mine project in County Tyrone. West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan says this is a particularly complicated project and more than 40,000 representatives have been made. All of that to follow with news in full, and we will also be joined by Oisin Kelly with all the latest in the sport at around 5:15. But first in news, the government is planning now to spend billions of euro to get the economy going again. Ministers are holding their second cabinet meeting as they get to grips with their new departments. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
Cabinet ministers arrived into their new departments this morning to be briefed on the jobs they'll be doing for the next few years before heading to Dublin Castle for their first working cabinet meeting. So new are some of the ministers that more than one tried to walk into the Disclosures Tribunal building rather than the conference centre that's hosting cabinet meetings. Taoiseach Micheál Martin arrived in his new hybrid state car while the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar walked in. Eamon Ryan locked his bike up outside before heading into the meeting. Inside, the three parties started work on the July stimulus package that they hope will get the economy restarted with billions of euro worth of investment. While many businesses opened the doors again today, many more remain closed and hundreds of thousands of people are still relying on state payments to supplement their income. There's a serious job of work ahead for the new government and it's expected more details of their plans for the next few weeks will be released at a press conference shortly.
Ardra-based Senator Eileen Flynn has taken her seat at the Seanad. On today's 9 till noon show, Senator Flynn, a member of the travelling community, told Greg Hughes that while she had been nominated by the Taoiseach, she will sit as an independent to first and foremost represent people from ethnic minorities. In March's Seanad election, Senator Flynn came close to securing a seat in her own right. She says her support on that occasion came from all ends of the political spectrum.
I got 76 first preference and I did extremely well in March, and unfortunately I missed out just very narrowly by 2 votes that there was cross-party support, and then to get the telephone call that I got at 3:30 on Saturday from Taoiseach Micheál Martin was absolutely incredible. And what makes it even more incredible, Greg, is that it was a collective decision by the three party leaders. I'm not there in behalf of any party. I'm there to serve the people from ethnic minority groups.
The longest-serving member of the Seanad has hit out at its lack of racial diversity. Senator David Norris has hailed the appointment of Eileen Flynn from the travelling community as a significant advance. However, he has noted the lack of diversity among the 60 senators.
This historic coalition marks a welcome end to Civil War politics, so that in future one hopes that politicians will deal with issues rather than sentiment. I welcome very much the substantial increase in female representation. I regret the absence from Seanad Éireann of any person of mixed race.
The Minister of Equality has said he wants a roadmap for replacing direct provision by the end of the year. Addressing the flaws in the asylum seeker accommodation system as a key win in the programme for government for the Greens. The Minister in charge, Roderick O'Gorman, has said a white paper spelling out how to do that will be ready by the end of the year. He also doesn't foresee difficulty with working with the Department of Justice, which formerly had responsibility for direct provision.
I'm sure myself, Minister McEntee, will be able to sit down and work closely together. We spent a lot of time on this entire area, the entire area of immigration and integration, during the programme for government talks. It's the understanding of all three parties that this is an important priority for the new government, and I've no doubt I'll work closely with Minister McEntee and with other colleagues to hopefully bring a resolution to this issue.
Fianna Fáil TD Charlie McConlogue has acknowledged the concern at the lack of ministerial representation in Donegal and Connacht, but says the job of a minister is to represent the whole country and not just their county. He says the appointment of junior ministers will hopefully see more geographical balance, and if asked, he'll be happy to serve. He was speaking on today's 9 till noon show.
The cabinet positions be spread across the country in different ways at different times. I would certainly want to see more in the West and the Northwest. I think we're at the halfway point in relation to ministerial appointments, and I have no doubt that will be, the picture will look very different by the middle of the week. And regardless of who, what bums are in seats, every minister that's in place there is going to have to be a minister responsible for the whole country in terms of their particular portfolio.
You'd be expecting to be appointed junior minister during this week. Have you been given that indication yet?
No, nobody has been given any indication in any regard, same as for the cabinet position. So that will remain to be seen over the course of the week. Certainly, like many of my colleagues, I'd be very hopeful in that regard, and certainly I think it'll be important that
maybe a junior ministry with responsibility in agriculture and the marine, or one maybe particularly agriculture.
I suppose it'll go back and time will tell in terms of who will be ministers, Greg, but it goes back to the key point about it's not what bums are in seats, it's about delivery for the public, delivering housing, delivering health. We will have those voices as part of the government, Greg, and that's my job, that's Niall Blaney's job, that's Joe McHugh's job, to ensure that happens, and no doubt opposition TDs as well to put on pressure from the sidelines, but particularly the responsibility is on those in government to deliver for their counties. And there's a responsibility on the cabinet and on the government as a whole to ensure that it's fair, it fairly represents all of the country. So listen, I'm delighted to be in a position for the first time in my career in the Oireachtas to be in government, and certainly I will be moving heaven and earth in the time ahead to ensure that the next government delivers for our county.
Meanwhile, former Education Minister Joe McHugh says if he's asked to serve as a junior minister, he will want it to be a portfolio that is of benefit and might refuse a job if he doesn't believe it's appropriate. He says there's no doubt that a seat at the cabinet table is a substantial benefit, particularly in bringing forward major projects such as the MICA redress scheme.
There's no question about it. While I was around the table, I had that influence in terms of having a very, very close contact relationship with the Taoiseach, with my cabinet colleagues, and a very, very important person in the cabinet table is the Attorney General. And I can say it now publicly, without that, we would not have got that €1 billion MICA scheme across the line. But also, we now have 13 major capital development projects in the system in the capital plan. We also have the Letterkenny Lifford Road in the capital plan along with A5. My job now is to figure out what is the best way for me to use my voice now that I have the relationships, now that I know how government works, now that I know a lot of the officials in different departments. I've worked in 5 different departments in 6 years at a very intense level, and how can I best employ my Donegal to make sure that there's no change to those development plans and to ensure that we continue to fight for this region that has been neglected over a period of 100 years, and that doesn't turn around in a couple of years, but I do believe that the government that we have now is a stable government, a long-term government. We're looking at potential 5-year budget plans, and with very experienced politicians alongside me and Niall Blaney and Charlie McConlogue, we're in a good position.
A public inquiry will be held into the proposed Dalradian gold mine project in County Tyrone. West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan says this is a particularly complicated project, and more than 40,000 representations have been made to the Department for Infrastructure about the proposal. There are also concerns about the social and environmental impacts of this project. He says a public inquiry is the fairest and most thorough way to scrutinise an application of this complexity.
He believes that the best way forward, given the complexity of this application, is for a public inquiry to put certainty on the table, to put the facts on the table, and to provide a clear amount of information for the public to understand, and indeed even for wider political parties as well, because pressure has mounted on us, and we're not experts in gold mining, so it's important for everybody, and even for business as well, to understand the facts in relation to this. before the application proceeds.
Do you believe that a public inquiry of this nature can bring clarity to people and perhaps help shape people's opinions? Because very often in a case like that, it appears that people go into such a discussion very much with battle lines drawn and minds firmly made up.
There's no doubt that applications for gold mining have been divisive, and it's no different in Greencastle. In fact, it's been very divisive. It has divided communities because there's people that are absolutely strongly opposed. There's people that are for it, and there's people that are undecided. So it is a difficult application. Public inquiries, that we've just been through one for the A5, and similar issues there in terms of objectors opposing it. I think it's important that we have clarity on every level in relation to this application to ensure the safety of the public and to reassure the public about any concerns they may have, be it environmental or indeed in relation to health. A public inquiry is the only way we're going to get certainty, clarity and facts on the table.
Antenatal services are to be restored in Inishowen after the previous service ceased in 2018. Deputy Padraig McLaughlin says he had raised the issue with former Health Minister Simon Harris and had hoped for progress before now. Management at Letterkenny University Hospital, responding on the Minister's behalf, have now confirmed to him that they are planning to restore a midwifery-led service to Inishowen. Deputy McLaughlin says it is important these clinics are delivered in Buncrana and Carndonagh, as they were there before.
We had antenatal services in both Buncrana and Carndonagh removed around 2018, and it's really important if we're talking about primary care services that they're as close as possible in this case for mothers to be. So I have an assurance that they will be delivered in Inishowen, and I would be expecting that would be Buncrana and Carndonagh.
This will provide a service for Inishowen mothers that will avoid travel to other parts of Donegal for clinical appointments. I'm sure this will come as welcome news and be a lot more convenient for mothers in Inishowen.
It will be welcome news. I mean, in my opinion, the services should not have been removed without a plan to quickly replace them. It's now been 2 years, but it is welcome to see a new midwifery-led service, obviously coming from Letterkenny Hospital and being delivered around the county. So that's innovation is very welcome. I just wish it had happened quicker. So I would expect in the very near future these antenatal clinics, scan services to be available in the area.
Are you confident that the incoming government will carry through these plans?
Well, I mean, obviously I'll be keeping a very close eye on any assurances I've been given. There's a whole range of issues in Donegal, from our local community hospitals to our major hospital, Letterkenny, to primary care services like these. But this is an assurance I've been given in writing, and I expect it to be honoured.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, with the new Donegal GA Raven range, including zip-ups, tracksuit bottoms and shorts, available in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And in sport now, we cross over to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Emma Rose. We're going to start with football. An institute have confirmed that they will be appealing the Northern Ireland Football League's decision to relegate them. The club was informed on Friday that in light of the NFIL's mathematical formula, they would remain at the foot of the Danishabach Premiership table and thus relegated. The club has confirmed it has put forward an additional proposal of a 14-team league based on the Danish model. Meanwhile, club chairman Bill Anderson has thanked the football family for their support and positivity. He says it's a timely reminder that ordinary, decent, rational football people can easily tell right from wrong. He then asked the question, how come the Guardians of guilt? One game cross-channel tonight, 10th plays 11th in the top flight Premier League as Crystal Palace playing host to Burnley. Kick-off time is at 8 o'clock. Donegal GAA confirmed the new structures for the championships and regional leagues at the weekend, and it's very much a changed format across the board for the shortened club period. In the championship, five teams will get two home and two away games. Fixture secretary is Ed Byrne, and he's been explaining the reasons behind the decision.
We want to get back out and we want to see games being played, and there's nothing people love more than championship, the rivalry and the intensity of that football. And the second reason, of course, is we all know since lockdown, quite a lot of clubs have been unable to take part in any fundraising activities or do any fundraising activities while some may have lost online. A lot of the fundraising activities have been lost. And for the clubs, one of the things that helps the fundraising in the club is a championship game. So if we'd go with the old format, we would have seen 50% of our clubs only have one championship game at home. So the idea was to provide at least one more. And I won't say we're very restricted in the time frame we have, but we were restricted in what we'd like to put together. And we felt that two home games and two away games to each club was a fair and a balanced sort of a draw this year, you know. So that's why we went with it.
Fixture Secretary of Donegal GA, Ed Byrne, and you can hear more from Ed on the structures of the Championship and the regional leagues for the shortened club period later on tonight on the DL Debate podcast presented by Brendan Devaney. Ed will be going through full decisions as to why they decided to go with the format that is now in place and will get underway in the middle of July. Brendan's other guest tonight on the DL Debate comes from the county of Tyrone. He's a legend in the Red Hand County. That's Peter Canavan is the second guest tonight with Brendan. The DL Debate available online, the podcast, highlandradio.com, as from 7 o'clock this evening. Essendon's Conor McKenna has been given a one-week suspension by the AFL for breaching return-to-play protocols, but he has already served the ban. The County Tyrone native recently twice tested positive for COVID-19, causing a fixture with Melbourne to be postponed. McKenna subsequently tested negative on two other occasions and remained in quarantine for a period of 14 days. Now, during that period, the AFL said he breached protocols by visiting the home of his former host family. Although he has already served that ban, he will go into full team training on Wednesday and will be available to play for against Collingwood at the MCG for Essendon this coming Friday. In boxing, the president of MTK Global, Bob Yallon, claims that Daniel Kinahan is to step away from boxing. Yallon's told The Athletic that Kinahan is doing what's right for the sport. Kinahan has no criminal convictions, but was previously named in the High Court as a senior figure in organised crime. Yallon says Kinahan will step away from boxing to focus on other interests. Finally, in golf, Daniel Fertelli has become the latest player to withdraw from the PGA Tour after receiving a positive result today for coronavirus. Fertelli says he's not had any symptoms, but he will now have to self-isolate for 14 days and will miss this week's Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit. Last week, Cameron Champ and Denny McCarthy withdrew from the Travelers Championship following positive results, while Graham McDowell and Brooks Koepka did not participate after their respective caddies returned a positive test. Well, that's it from the Sports Desk for today. Emma Rose will be back with our next bulletin tomorrow morning.
And in weather, a mostly cloudy and breezy evening with outbreaks of rain and drizzle, mainly across the southern half of the province. Most northern areas will stay dry this afternoon and some bright or sunny spells will develop. Highest temperatures are 14 to 17 degrees. And just a look at the closing headlines, the first sitting of the 26th Shannon is underway at Dublin's Convention Centre. Fianna Fáil TD Charlie McConlogue has acknowledged the concerns of the lack of ministerial representation in Donegal and Connacht, but says the job of a minister is to represent the whole country. A public inquiry will be held into the proposed Dalradian gold mine project in County Tyrone. West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan says this is particularly complicated project and more than 40,000 representations have been made to the Department of Infrastructure. That's all from Highland Radio News and Sport for now. You can listen back to a podcast of the main evening news on highlandradio.com. Back with the headlines again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for Monday evening, the 29th of June. The death has occurred of John Clark, Dresna, Castlefin. Requiem Mass will be celebrated on Wednesday at 11 a.m. in St. Columbus Church, Dunilip, interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Due to government restrictions, the house, mass and interment are strictly private to the immediate family. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Medical 4 Ward or Oncology Ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Charles Lynch Funeral Director or any family member. The death has occurred of Con McHugh, Dearla Letramacha Ward. His remains are reposing at his late residence, with funeral mass on Wednesday at 11 a.m. in St. Bridget's Church, Letramacha Ward, interment afterwards in the new cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are private. The death has taken place of Michael Doherty, Chapel Street, Stranorler. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral leaving his home on Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorler at 11 a.m. Interment afterwards in Stranorler Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/Stranorler. In compliance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral will be private to the immediate family and friends only. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to the orthopaedic ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Annie Crow, formerly of London and Mondewy Manor, Cunningham. Her remains are reposing at the home of Leslie and Barbara Stewart, Mondewy Manor, Cunningham. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment is strictly private. Family flowers only, donations if desired, to Brindley Manor Nursing Home, care of Gibson Funeral Directors Convoy. The death has taken place of Kathleen Malarkey, Thomas, Balasala, Glengad, Mallon. Requiem Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock in St. Mary's Church, Lag, Mallon, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. In compliance with HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial is private to family only. The death has occurred of Kathleen Duffy, 28, Glenpatrick Park, Balbuffet. Remains reposing at the home of her daughter Michelle, 11, Barnes Court, Balbuffet. Funeral leaving from there tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorler at 11 a.m. afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/Stranorler. In compliance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral will be private to the immediate family and friends only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to the Patients' Comfort Fund, St. Joseph's Community Hospital, Stranorler, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Roy McMonagall, Chur Muff. A private family funeral will take place in Muff Parish Church on Tuesday due to ongoing guidelines. House strictly private, family flowers only. Donations in lieu, if wished, to Muff Parish Church, care of Adair and Neely Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Elizabeth Lily Graham, née Rolston, Lenimore Stables, Muff. In accordance with government guidelines, funeral arrangements are private. Funeral is restricted to the immediate family only. Family flowers only, donations to Ballyarnet Presbyterian Church, care of Mrs. Ruth Hay, Funeral Director.